You're listening to Rendezvous with the Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rendezvous with the Writer,
where writers and readers meet and story is everything.
We're your hosts, Jim and Bobby Bell.
And our opening music, Hot Texas, was written and performed by good friend of ours, Alex Dormont, and the Hot Texas Swing Band.
Yeah, they're great.
We love them, yeah. So, Jim, who are our guests tonight? And and I see Henry is here. Who are our guests tonight?
Our guests tonight are Henry Park and Jim Jones.
Oh, we're so excited.
Henry.
Here's Henry and Jim. Hey. Hi. Welcome. So, Henry, you're in New York City?
Yes, I am.
And how is it in the Big
Apple?
It's
very dark in New York City, as you can tell. I'm in the only room in the house that has a table and the walls are burgundy, and it just sucks light like a magnet.
I see that.
So, I have a lamp on either side of me.
You need one of those ring things, you know, the light ring
yes.
in front of you, I guess. Well, we're delighted to have you with us. This is the first Thursday of the month, and Henry Park has been with us the first Thursday for the last 7 years. Do you want to tell our listeners a little something about Henry Park?
A short little bio. Henry joins us on the first Thursday of every month, the Western Films editor for True West Magazine. Henry has a pulse on all things Western, on the small and the big screen. All right, Henry.
All right. Well, thank you so much for having me again. It's great to be back with you. The most immediate, up-to-the-minute Western news I have for you is that a brand spanking new spaghetti Western, The Price of Death, has just been released, and it's available on Amazon, Tubi. I just watched it for free on Tubi last night, and it's a lot of fun. Ken Lukey is a bounty hunter who agrees to transport killer Crispian Belfrage to another town for a hanging, and Aaron Stielstra and his gang want to know where he stashed all of their gold before he swings.
Oh.
The big coming soon news is Walter Hill's new Western, Dead for a Dollar, which will premiere at the Venice Film Festival later this month. I'm sorry?
Yeah, Dead for a Dollar, right?
Right, Death for a Dollar.
Yeah.
And as I said, it's going to be opening in Venice. It'll actually open in real-life physical theaters on September 30th. Now, this afternoon at 3 p.m., True West had the honor of premiering the trailer on our Facebook page, and it looks terrific.
Oh.
This is Hill's sixth Western. He's previously directed The Long Riders, Geronimo, An American Legend, Wild Bill, Broken Trail, and the pilot for Deadwood. And in this one, Christoph Waltz is a bounty hunter, a job he was taught by Quentin Tarantino, on the trail of Rachel Brosnahan, the marvelous Mrs. Maisel, to rescue her from a Buffalo Soldier kidnapper, Brandon Scott. Only it's a lie. She ran away with it. This is not a spoiler. It's in all of the handouts and press releases. Also, there is an outline there played by Willem Dafoe and another by Benjamin Bratt, who has a very cool tattoo, goatee, not tattoo, the hair thing on the chin.
Okay.
You know what a goatee is, sorry.
Yes.
Coming soon to television, a period Western feature on the INSP channel, The Warrant, Breakers Law, which is a sequel to The Warrant, and Neil McDonough is back. Now with Dermot Mulroney and Bruce Boxleitner.
Oh.
Wow.
And here's an interesting series that's coming to us from Europe. The English is a six-parter done by the BBC and Amazon Prime. It stars Emily Blunt and Chase Spencer, who made a splash in the Twilight movies, and Kieran Hines, the father in Belfast. Blunt is an Englishwoman who ventures across the pond in the 1890s for revenge against the man she blames for her son's death. Spencer is a Pawnee former Army scout who teams up with her. It was all shot in Pawnee, Oklahoma, and it's written and directed by Hugo Blick. And forgive me if I end on a sort of downbeat note, but while there's a lot of good news in the Western film and TV world, the news in Western publishing is not so hot. All of the magazines in the History Net group, which includes excellent publications like Wild West and Civil War Times, have shifted from bi-monthly to quarterly. And Five Star Publishing, one of the great sources for Western novels, has announced that they will cease publishing new Westerns on April Fool's Day, 2023. Now, please check out the September True West magazine with my interview with Barry Corbin, and check out my newest INSP blog, A Bond Like Brothers, Robert Redford and Paul Newman. And you can read all about that and so much more at www.henryswesternroundup.blogspot.com.
Henry, Jim has a question for you.
Okay. You know, we haven't got to the article you were talking about. We're just thinking about Patrick Wayne here.
Uh-huh.
And that's a nice article. How did you know Patrick Wayne, or did you know him for a long time, or did how you put this together?
You know, what happened was I was at a signing event, book signing thing, and Patrick Wayne was there, and I just went up and introduced myself and told him who I wrote for and asked if he'd be interested in talking to me. And
he was great.
Very nice. Yeah, it's nice when people are approachable, and he really was. And as you can see from that piece, he gave me a great, great interview. Oh, and the Barry Corbin piece is not in that issue. It's in the next one that just came up in September.
Yeah, we haven't found that one on the newsstand yet here, and our subscription hasn't, we subscribed, but it hasn't caught up yet.
I haven't gotten mine either. I always, they send the writers theirs last because usually a check comes with them.
Oh, there you go. Now, Henry, are you going to stay on with us to talk with Jim?
Wonderful.
So now let's go ahead and talk about the other gentleman that we're looking at on our screen, our featured guest, Jim Jones, tonight. And I'd like to share a little something about him. It's hard to share a little something because this gentleman has written lots of books, wonderful songs, released many, many albums, but I'm going to do my best. He is the author of five novels set in New Mexico in the late 1800s, as well as an illustrated children's series, Bolo the Brave. His songs and books are about the West. Cowboys, horses, cattle rustlers, mountains, and rivers. He has produced 11 Western folk music albums, and he's won just about every award the International Western Music Association, the Academy of Western Artists, and the Western Writers of America have to offer. In addition, he has won three of the very most prestigious awards available today: the Wrangler Award from the National Cowboy and Western Heritage Museum. Please welcome our good friend, Jim Jones.
Hey. Great to be here. Hello, Henry. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
And you know, Jim is also in this issue, the same issue of True West magazine. There's a whole little column there about you, Jim. We were so delighted to open the magazine and go like, oh, here's somebody else we know that's in this issue. How did that come about, Jim?
Stuart Rosebrook just emailed me and said, hey, you want to do this? And I said, sure, why not? Seemed like a good thing to do.
Yeah.
Made me think. It was interesting. It was the five most influential novels for me, Western novels. So it made me think a lot. That's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Occasionally. I mentioned the Wrangler Awards, and we want to take a couple of moments right now. I would love for you to share a little bit about how that award came about and what it was like to be there. And then we will play the award-winning song. So take it away, Jim. Fill us in.
Okay. Well, this last Wrangler was for, what is it, the Outstanding Original Western Composition is what they call it. And it's basically Best Western Song of the Year. And it's a song that I wrote with my friends Deanna and Dave McCall. And like you said, I mean, it's a really prestigious outfit. It's the National Cowboy and Western Heritage Museum, which is informally known as the Cowboy Hall of Fame in Oklahoma City. And I mean, they honor all kinds of pretty cool people. When we were there in April, Taylor Sheridan was there receiving an award for 1883, and Kurt Russell was there getting a Lifetime Achievement Award. And so I'd say, "Hey, Taylor, hey, Kurt," and they'd say, "And who are you again?" But it was really cool, and I got to perform the song. There was like 1,500 people in this huge banquet room, and they have the big screen behind me, and I'm trying not to turn and look because I'm like, wow, I've never been on a big screen before. you know, been maybe on the wall at the post office or something, but it's really and it was just super cool. Everybody was so nice, and those Wranglers are heavy. Those awards, I kind of strained my back, but I wasn't complaining too bad.
Henry, have you ever been, or do you have any comments about that award?
Well, no, I'm sorry to say I never have been. I hope to get there sometime. Mm-hmm. But no, it's one that has eluded me up until now. As have the awards.
Right. Well, let's take a listen to Old Horses and Old Men, and it is featured on one of Jim's newest releases, Good Days Are Coming. And let's go ahead and take a listen, and we'll be back shortly.
Old horses and old men riding the changes that blow on the wind, wishing they could do it all over again. Old horses and old men dreaming of golden days from the past, a proud way of life that just couldn't last. They gave their all time and again. Old horses and old men, old horses, old men, set in their ways, remembering the thrill of those bygone days. Old horses, old men, ride out again, raring to start, but nearing the end. Oh, the rowdy and rambling tales they could spin. Old horses and old men. They saddle up before daylight, a little bit stiff, but still full of fight. They come riding home around twilight, old horses and old men. Time's moving on, they faint denied that. Life is a-changing, but they live in the past. Heroes with saddles and cowboy hats, old horses and old men. Old horses, old men, setting their ways, remembering the thrill of those bygone days. Old horses, old men, ride out again, raring to start, but nearing the end. Oh, the rowdy and rambling tales they could spin. Old horses and old men. And the old horse and the old man, they slowly.
Welcome back to Rendezvous with a Writer with Jim and Bobby Bell. We've just been listening to Old Horses and Old Men by Jim Jones, and we're talking to Mr. Jones right now.
That's such a fabulous song, and I love that photograph. Deanna McCall, who is, of course, pictured there, is our guest next week on Rendezvous with a Writer. So delighted. Jim's got a question for you, Jim, and then it can be kind of a shortish answer, because we're going to take a very quick break. Okay. And then when we come back, we'll talk about it in greater detail. What's your question, honey?
Well, we mentioned this before, I think, the other night. What does storyteller mean to you?
Well, the short answer is people ask me what I do, and I say, well, I'm a singer, songwriter, but then I write books, and then I write some children's books, then I write novellas, and I write sometimes blogs. And I thought, really what I am is a storyteller. And that's the tradition of storytellers goes back thousands of years. And I thought, I think that sort of covers it. It sort of helps me organize in my mind who I am and what I am. And so that's what it means to me. Yeah.
Henry, do you remember the very first show with you and Courtney Joyner? And Courtney talked about how important it is today for writers to be able to take that story and use it or offer it across all kinds of platforms, all kinds of genres. Remember it was really good words of wisdom from Court. And when I think about Jim Jones, Courtney's words come back to me right away, that all of what Jim's been producing is product that could be used across, you know, all kinds of platforms. Yeah. Anyway,
absolutely.
I guess it's not really a question; it was a comment.
No, I agree completely, and I think it's particularly striking that you can go back and forth between, you know, a prose novel, straight storytelling form, and the whole lyrical way of telling stories in music. That fascinates me that you can go back and forth. I mean, I can go between short stories and novels and. Mm-hmm. And such, but that's great range.
Yeah. No, we are going to talk more about that in just a moment. This is the perfect time to talk about one of our favorite publishing houses, and it is run by Richard Polinelli. And let's take a listen to Tuscany Bay Books.
Hey, everybody. Richard Polinelli with Tuscany Bay Books. And if you're a reader looking for the next best adventure for your summertime reading, or, you know, coming up on the winter, come to TuscanyBayBooks.com and check out our amazing bookshelf filled with books by some of the best authors out there in science fiction, fantasy, mystery thrillers, westerns, you name it. We've got something for you to read. And if you're an author who has just finished your manuscript and you're looking for a publisher, come to TuscanyBayBooks.com. Fill out our submission form. We'll take a look at it and we'll see if we can get you published and get you doing what you should be doing, which is writing your very next book. TuscanyBayBooks.com, that's your place to go if you're a reader or a writer. And now back to Rendezvous with a Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell.
Welcome back. We're talking to Jim Jones. We're talking about his new book, Halo Moon, which is in a series of books. We know we have a bit of an inspiration from songs from your books, and we kind of wondered, does the song come first, or does the book come first?
Well, the short answer is yes.
Excellent.
You might want more, though. My very first book is called Rustler's Moon, and that was a song first. And probably in the early 2000s, and I was thinking at some point, I was driving and thinking, which I do a lot of, and it gets me in trouble, and this time it did too. And I was thinking, there's a lot to that story in that song. I've never written a book before, and I remember thinking, how hard could it be? And of course, it's really hard. But by the time I had done it and realized how hard it is, I was committed. And so in that case, the song came first and then the book. Subsequently, there's in the series, and there's three more Moon books, and there's two books in the spinoff series. And each of those books has a song that came after the book. So that's how it worked.
Okay.
Did you purposely know that you would write a song for each book, or did that just kind of haphazardly come about?
Pretty much like my entire career, it haphazardly came about. I didn't know I was going to write more than one book. And after I wrote the first one, and I got, you know, just enough good, you know, it doesn't take a lot of response for either a singer, songwriter, or an author to continue doing it. You have one person says, oh, I liked your work. You're on it, you know? And so I think, but fairly quickly after I wrote the second and then the third books, I did come up with songs for them just because it seemed to make sense.
Mm-hmm. Is there a reason that Moon shows up in so many of the titles? Is that purposeful?
Well, it just evolved that way because the Rustler's Moon, there is a Rustler's Moon. I mean, I've only read about this. I have never rustled cattle personally, but they say that quarter moon is the perfect time to rustle cattle. There's just enough light for you to see what you're doing and not enough light for them to track you. So I had a moon book, and so I thought, well, let me keep the moon thing going. I don't want to say that I mooned people, but I mean, kept it going. So,
Henry, did you have a chance? I know I sent you the book very late. I don't know if you had a chance to read any of it at all. Halo Moon, his new one. Did you have a chance?
Oh, I read several chapters. I haven't had a chance to read the whole thing.
Yeah. Do you have some questions?
You know what I wanted to ask, if you don't mind, was something about Rustler's Moon, which is that I was seeing the piece in True West, where you were saying that you were inspired by Lonesome Dove to write that. I was wondering how that provided inspiration.
Good question.
Well, it provided inspiration because in that book, fairly early on, there's a scene in which Gus is talking with Newt and they're getting ready to go down across the border and borrow some cattle from the Mexican rancher. And so Gus is explaining the finer points of cattle rustling to Newt. And he describes what the Rustler's Moon is. And that's where the general idea came from. The first line in the song is also the first line in the prologue of that book. And that actually came to me. I woke up and I had it in my head, which is weird because it happens sometimes. And it's the first time I saw him, he was standing on a hill looking 10 times larger than life. And it was off from there.
Yeah. Halo Moon. Let's talk about Halo Moon a moment. There seems to be a little supernatural ring around that moon that impacts some of the characters, perhaps. Tell us a little bit about the background for Halo Moon.
Well, it's I wanted to create a mood in that book, and it's probably the darkest of my books. And the main character, Jared Delaney, he's actually suffering from PTSD, only nobody knew what that was in the late 1800s. And so he has bad dreams and pretty spooky kind of experiences. In the story Rustler's Moon, he sort of overcomes that. But there's an event in Halo Moon that re-triggers all of that. And so I'm trying to find ways to set this kind of eerie, spooky mood. And I wound up writing this. Well, the Halo Moon, actually, there is a hazy ring around the moon, there's an old wives' tale that means something bad is about to happen. Mm-hmm. So I just thought, well, that kind of creates that tension and that feeling like we don't know what it is, but something bad's coming. And then the song ends up being kind of like a ghost story. I don't know. I'm not even sure where that came from, but
we're going to hear that in a couple of moments. Jim, I know you have questions about Halo Moon. I see you have a lot of questions written down there.
Well, it's interesting, the characters. I think you did a good job with character development. And interesting thing is, this one guy, Felipe Alvarado.
Yeah.
Pretty nasty guy. Now, in your other books, are they as nasty as this what guy is?
He may be. All of my bad guys are pretty nasty. I think he is the nastiest because he survived one book. He's so mean, they couldn't even kill him. And in The Lights of Cimarron, and he made it into this last book, Halo Moon. He's actually based on a historical character. I was looking at that this afternoon just to kind of refresh my mind. A man in Las Vegas, New Mexico, during the time frame this book is set, and he had a band of outlaws called the Whitecaps gang, mm-hmm. and they did some horrendous things. I mean, he just killed people whenever he felt like it, but he masqueraded as an upstanding member of the community, and mm-hmm. a lot of people had no idea that he was involved in all that. So most of my bad guys are based on real bad guys who are just real bad.
Well, of course, we have known you for years as such a wonderful, gentlemanly, outgoing, pleasant, nothing ruffles you. So when I read these terrible characters that you create, I say to Jim, oh my gosh, how is Jim Jones writing these characters?
I've got a dark side.
Is he that who we think he is? So how is that as an author? Is that very challenging? I know you've said these are based on history, but how is that as an author? Or is it delightful to get into the dark side?
It's not, I wouldn't say it's delightful. I'm not sure I enjoy it. But I think probably like most Westerns, mine kind of boil down to good versus evil, and I try to make them a little more complex than that. But basically, there are people at the end of the day, they're just evil, and they do horrible things, and it is horrible. And people then have to figure out if they're going to run or stand up to it or fight or whatever. And so it creates that kind of conflict. And so I kind of feel like it's necessary, but I don't enjoy it too much.
Some authors say that the characters kind of take on lives of their own, and sometimes you can't always control them. And I thought maybe this fellow fell into that category just a little bit.
He kept doing worse and worse things. Mm-hmm. That's true. When we talked the other night, we were kind of mm-hmm. talking about it, especially when you write a series and so you have a cast of characters over time. I've heard other authors say this too, so I don't think it's just me being crazy, but that you sort of become acquainted with them, and they don't take on a life of their own necessarily, unless you're Stephen King. But I mean, you sort of know what they're going to do, but then sometimes they surprise you and they do what they should be doing that you kind of lost sight of. It's sometimes it's an adventure. I'm going along typing and going, ooh, I can't believe he did that.
Exactly.
Well, I think this is the perfect time to take a listen to Jim actually reciting the first part of this book, Halo Moon, and then it goes right into the music. So let's hear words and music of Halo Moon.
The scream of the mountain lion reverberated around the walls of the dark canyon, conjuring images of banshees and ghosts. Jared Delaney sat straight up in the saddle, his eyes wide with dread as he searched the trail for signs of the animal. His ears strained to pick up the slightest noise that didn't seem to be part of the usual sounds of the night. He scrutinized the terrain with all of his senses. There, up ahead, he saw the creature crouched on a boulder beside the pathway. It was huge, probably twice as big as any cat he'd ever seen. Its eyes burned with a malevolent amber fire. It quivered with fury and anticipation. Judging from the position of the halo moon in the sky, it was sometime after midnight. Jared had a passing thought that it was odd he could see so clearly, given that it was the heart of the night. The echo of the piercing cry of the lion faded. In its place, he heard a low and guttural rumble, a growl. It was the sound a mountain lion makes when attack is imminent. He reached for his Winchester and the scabbard on the left side of his saddle. It was gone. What the hell? Panicked, he made a grab for his pistol. It was gone, too. With crystalline clarity, he saw the predator gather itself to leap. How could this be happening? Was this how it would end? Jared came out of the dream like a drowning man swimming desperately to reach the surface of a deep lake. As he gasped for breath and tried to collect his bearings, he felt a palpable fear and cast a frantic look around his campsite for the source of the danger. As his eyes adjusted to the darkness, he saw and heard nothing to be frightened of, nothing but the familiar and reassuring sounds of the night. Crickets, an owl hooting off in the distance. Looking up in the sky, he saw the same moon from his dream, encircled by a hazy band of light. What did the old story say? A halo moon was an omen of things to come. Bad weather? Maybe. Bad luck? Perhaps. Trouble? Probable. Change is coming, he thought, and it's not good.
There's a halo around the moon, even though the night is clear. You can feel the tension building, there's danger in the air. A storm on the horizon, there's trouble coming soon. Beware, there's a halo moon. Loved to sleep by good times, and now the guard is down. Unprepared, you'll bushwhack when bad weather comes around. Raining down upon you like a bolt out of the blue. Take heed, there's a halo moon. Halo moon tried to tell you there's peril on the prowl. Now you hear the ghosts and banshees, you hear the wildcats howl. Late you hear the warning of your impending doom. You should have paid attention to the halo moon.
And we're back. That was Halo Moon, Words and Music by our guest Jim Jones, and it is featured on his new album, Words and Music, which features him reciting from six books a passage, and then you get to hear the fabulous music that goes along with it. So, Jim, I guess you're still creating albums, yes?
Well, album is everybody sort of assumes that it's one thing like a record or a CD. I mean, it's a collection of works, and so I'm still writing stuff and collecting it and trying to present it to people as a, you know, a body of work.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And there are many of us that still appreciate CD form. Thank you very much.
Well, you know, one of the things I'm looking into in the Cowboy Way is too, the trio that I'm sometimes a part of is the thumb drives. And you can put, like, we're going to put all three Cowboy Way CDs on a thumb drive, I think, and make that available to folks playing their cars and stuff. So,
yeah,
I know
it's the wave of the future. Yeah. Almeda Bradshaw, who we all know, we were chatting the other day, and she thinks that disc jockeys should be called digital jockeys. And I thought, oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
We're going to take another quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk to Jim and Henry more about the creative process. But first, an ad from our sponsor, OutWestShop.com.
Here at the Out West Shop, we're passionate about the American West, the truth and the myth. We're purveyors of fine Western goods. We scout for unique and distinctive apparel, accessories, home decor, and general merchandise that are a reflection of the Western lifestyle. We hunt for unique artisans and craftsmen who are inspired to create decorative art you can wear based on their own love for the story of the West. We round it up and bring it to you. Check out OutWestShop.com when you need anything Western.
And we're back. And by the way, welcome back, of course, to Rendezvous with a Writer. This is episode number 5. We're still the new kid on the block, but we're having a blast. And by the way, if you do shop at outwestshop.com, use coupon code easy to remember radio and save $10 off a purchase of $75 or more. Okay, so Jim, let's chat a little bit more about your creative process. Here's a simple kind of question that I always think is interesting. When do you write, and where do you like to write?
When I'm working on novels, I usually do my, I feel the best in the morning. I feel the most alert. And so that's when I tend to work on my novels. With writing songs, I can sort of do that anytime. I've been doing that so long that it's sort of, I can kind of do it at the drop of a hat. So I can do it in the afternoon or the evening or whatever. So,
okay.
I generally work at my computer. Yeah. Even when I'm writing songs, I'm typing lyrics to a document, and then I got my guitar. And so, you know,
mm-hmm. Henry, a good question for you. The same question. When you're working on an article, when do you do that?
Well, where is almost always in my office, which is the back of the house facing the backyard. So I can watch birds and squirrels when I get bored. and when I used to have a really organized time thing, I would start like at around 7 a.m. I would always stop at exactly, just about 3 p.m. And so I had it really tightly scheduled, and that worked fine for me. And then once I started teaching and doing other jobs that took over a lot of my time, then the answer became any damn time I can sit down at the computer is when I do it. Yeah. So actually now my problem, having retired from teaching, is that I never know when to stop. So I mean, I'll start in the morning and I try and stop by midnight. But if I'm not careful, that's all I do day and night.
It's really, I'm with you. It's very easy to have that happen. Jim, let's, we talked about PTSD just a little bit ago regarding Halo Moon. And one of the thoughts that I had, you know, I interview on another show, I often interview folks with equestrian programs that are specifically geared to provide help for veterans that are dealing and first responders that are dealing with PTSD. And it occurred to me as I think about that sort of Wild West and what happens from the Civil War afterwards, were we a nation of people experiencing PTSD and didn't really know it?
Well, in a real general sense, I think you could say that. I mean, there are lots and lots of young men went through that war, and if they survived it, they were scarred physically and emotionally, just like anybody is by war. Also, people were uprooted. I mean, a lot of the cowboys came like from the deep south because they could not make a living, and so they went west, and that's a kind of a trauma. I mean, trauma is kind of a continuum. I mean, there's horrific trauma, but there's other kinds of trauma that are just really unpleasant things, particularly if they go on for a while. They really take their toll on people. And so, yeah, I think, and good grief, when people got out west and, you know, lots of bad things happened to people from time to time. And the survivors certainly were traumatized. So, yeah, mm-hmm. Sure, it existed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed, you and I have talked about 1883 off and on during the time that it was on. And as we get to the end of that particular series, I think, you know, the few people that make it out of that story, whether they were some of the emigrants that were part of that story. And I wonder, you know, how do you really put your life together again? How do you pick up and, you know, and move on?
Yeah,
that's the story of our nation.
Yeah, and there's a brilliant scene in there toward the end of that series where Tim McGraw's character is talking to Elsa and telling her about his experiences during the war and mm-hmm. and the impact. And you can see it. I mean, it all makes sense, his behavior and his demeanor and everything. And he just lays it out beautifully. I mean, it was brilliant writing, and he did an amazing job acting. Mm-hmm. And I think, but the answer to the second mm-hmm. part of what you just said was, how did people deal with it? Well, sort of create or discover support systems, people that love you, that stick mm-hmm. with you when things are rough and you're mm-hmm. having trouble. And that's always what's, you know, when people do kind of recover from mm-hmm. those experiences, it's because they have have people in their lives that'll stick with them and be understanding at the same time, maybe set limits when they get a little crazy mm-hmm. or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's a real superficial description of PTSD and what it takes to recover. But it's not simple, but that's the basis of it, is that you have people that stay with you and hang in there.
Well, and Halo Moon obviously has characters that are sense of community. I mean, you have Tomas and that family and you have that sense that there is community there. We don't lose everybody in this book.
No, I'm not that bloodthirsty. I don't care about anyone.
I know you must have some process questions. What have you got, Jim, on your list?
It's how you sort everything out. You know, you write songs, you actually go and perform. And like we're talking earlier, you're writing books. We're talking about one of them. How does that affect the creative process? I would think, you know, if you've been working 2 or 3 days in the morning on a new book, and all of a sudden, you know, you're going to perform someplace, and think, well, maybe I could take a new song to that performance also. You know, that must really keep the mind going, doesn't it?
Well, it does, for better and for worse, I suppose. I mean, I think what I find most of the time is when you're really working, then the creative juices are flowing. It just stimulates more creativity. Sometimes there's a point at which you kind of hit a wall and you just need to take a little break or something. I think it does tend to kind of feed on itself generally in a good way.
Yeah. This is a good spot to take our last break. Let's hear about good places to go and find great books to read, including books of all of the featured authors on Rendezvous with a Writer. Let's listen to the Out West Bookshop ad. Story is everything. Find a great one on Out West Shop's bookshop. Go to outwestshop.com, find books and CDs on the menu, choose Shop Out West on bookshop.org. Browse through featured authors on Rendezvous with a Writer. Explore curated book lists and our featured picks. Add in note cards, calendars, and jigsaw puzzles. One-stop shopping for great gifts. Use the search box to find thousands more titles. Make the switch. Your purchase supports us as independent booksellers. That's our story.
Welcome back to Rendezvous with a Writer. With Henry Park and Jim Jones. It's great having you gentlemen on tonight. Now, we have a question we try to ask most shows. We miss it once in a while. And I'm going to ask it to both of you fellas. Jim, first, do you ever get what we call writer's block?
Not usually, and not for long. You did tip me off that you might ask me this, so I've been thinking about it. And I think the way what helps me is whether I'm writing a song or a book, I try to have an overarching idea of what the story basically is about and where it's headed. It's kind of like, you know, you can't put a destination in your GPS. It can't tell you how to get there. But if you have a destination in mind, that gives you sort of the directions to go. And of course, sometimes you take detours that you weren't planning on, but that's really it. I mean, like even writing a song, when I get stuck, I'm writing a song with Deanna McCall, who's going to be on next week right now. And there was a line I was stuck on and I had to just step back and think about, okay, what's the point of this song? What's the story? And it took a while, but then I got, oh, that's it. That's it. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that's the kind of thing. You have a framework, and then things tend to kind of fall into place eventually.
Mm-hmm. Henry, your thoughts?
Well, writer's block has rarely been a problem for me. Actually, what I'm finding I have is more something like writer's ADHD, which is because I'm working on so many articles that are in different degrees of being finished at the time. That, like, I'm working on my notes for what we're going to discuss, and I'm also finishing up an interview with Lana Wood that I'm writing for INSP, and I'm trying to track down people for an article for True West, and I find that I find it hard to focus on one as long as I should. I really wish I could just put everything down but one piece and just work on that continually, but I don't seem to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Jim, have you found being part of a writing group, is that been beneficial, and was that something you would recommend to writers?
I haven't ever been a part of a formal writing group. I have friends that I use, and they use me as first readers and things like that. I know people that do that and really swear by it, and I think it makes a lot of sense to me. I think it always makes me a better writer when I share what I'm doing with somebody whose opinion I respect, and they give me feedback and oftentimes say, you know, I didn't get this, or this seems convoluted or whatever. It really, it's the kind of stuff that I don't necessarily catch myself, and somebody else can see it. And that's invaluable. That's so important.
Mm-hmm.
Heck yeah.
Gentlemen, what are you reading now? If you are, there's something on your nightstand you're reading. What is it? Or not.
I'm reading Leonard Maltin's new memoir, and I'm trying to remember what it's called.
That's okay. We can find that out. Yeah.
His memoir, and it's fascinating, and it's a little bizarre because I had no idea how closely our lives paralleled. We both went to NYU a couple of years apart. We were so involved with so many of the same people. I keep turning the page and say, oh my gosh, I know him. Oh my gosh, I worked with that guy. Oh, I hate her. it's a little strange that I don't know Leonard better, because apparently we've been running parallel lives for years.
How interesting. Jim, what about you?
I just finished a Craig Johnson book, one of the more recent ones, the Longmire series. I love his writing, and love the books. End the series. Right now I'm reading a mystery. It's Jonathan Kellerman mystery. His Alex Delaware, clinical psychologist / crime solver. And I hadn't read any of his books in a long time. I read a lot of them before, and I picked this one up, and so I'm really enjoying that. It's interesting.
That's great. I'm looking at the countdown on the clock. Let's see. The last question that I have is, advice for new writers or storytellers or songwriters? We'll do you first, Jim. Any advice?
Well, quickly, like I said, having editors or people that give you feedback who are honest and straight with you, and you need to trust them. And that's important, because there's just things you're going to miss because of your own blind spots, and they'll help you see them. For me, reading other people's work, reading Craig Johnson's work or Jonathan Kellerman, it always stimulates me and inspires me. Also, belonging to supportive organizations. I mean, I belong to Western Writers of America and the Southwest Regional Folk Alliance, and I belong to International Western Music Association. Having people around you that are doing similar things, that's great too. It really keeps you going, and then living your life. I know Joe Harrington talked about that recently. Is, you know, if you just sit in an office or a room all day long, you don't have much to write about.
Great. That's great. Henry, what about you? Any advice?
Well, I certainly echo a lot of what Jim was saying, especially the idea of reading other people's work, and it, you know, that always keeps your game up. That's why I'm reading Leonard Maltin, because of course we're trying to do the same kind of thing. And getting out there and dealing with people who have nothing to do with writing, I think is a great, you know, way to clear your head.
Mm-hmm.
But really, and I would just say for people that want to do the kind of articles that I do, Find somebody to talk to that you find interesting who hasn't been interviewed before or much, mm-hmm. who doesn't have all their answers down.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, gentlemen. One last question real quick, Jim, is where can people find you, your books, and so forth? Where do they go?
www.jimjoneswestern.com. Yep. And they can find me on Facebook too. Jim Jones Book Music and Books is my Facebook page. So either of those places, you can track me down.
Perfect. Well, we're like out of time. So thank you both so very, very much. Very quickly next week, Deanna McCall will be with us. We'll be talking about poetry and books and cooking. Yeah. So fun. And let's see, we want to give you a little advice this week. It comes from author Mark Twain. There are some books that refuse to be written. They stand their ground year after year and will not be persuaded. It isn't because the book is not there and worth being written. It's only because the right form of the story does not present itself. There is only one right form for a story, and if you fail to find that form, the story will not tell itself. On behalf of Jim and me, we thank you so much for being with us tonight on Rendezvous with a Writer. We'll see you next week. And remember, it's always a great day out west.
You're listening to Rendezvous with the Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell, only on LA Talk Radio.